The disaster at our southern border worsens day by day, and crime across America rages out of control. But Joe Biden could care less. He's focused instead on solving another border crisis far, far away in a land called Ukraine. People can be forgiven for wondering why Joe seems to suddenly care about Ukrainians more than Americans. It's a legitimate question. After all, he didn't care one whit about the Afghans. Tens of millions of them are now starving thanks to Biden, who gave the country away gift-wrapped to the Taliban. Biden infamously bungled the U.S. withdrawal in Kabul in the biggest foreign policy humiliation in modern memory. Folks in the Kremlin laughed at his utter incompetence. So did the Taliban, who promptly murdered many of our Afghan allies when Joe bugged out. Shamed by even his devoted cheerleaders in the mainstream media, Biden is now trying to compensate for his spectacular blunder by challenging Putin in his own backyard, hoping that sticking up for Ukraine will magically restore the tumbling poll numbers that appear destined to make Joe an abysmal one-term president. It won't work. For starters, Putin is a whole lot smarter and more clever than Joe. Just about anyone with a pulse is. Secondly, Biden dispatched the chronically inept Kamala Harris to Europe to remedy the crisis in Ukraine. That makes as much sense as a left-handed hammer. Kamala did such a terrific job fixing the Mexican border. Illegal entries are now at an all-time high. Some 2 million were apprehended while slipping into the country during Biden's first term, many of whom were allowed to stay and simply vanish. That doesn't account for the untold number who were never caught and never will be. Harris has zero foreign policy experience, none. She couldn't stop an invasion of sleepy turtles. Kamala is a national security neophyte. I doubt she could point out the location of Ukraine on a map, or Russia, for that matter. A few months ago, she confessed to NBC's Lester Holt that she's never even been to Europe. Bereft of any diplomatic skills or credentials, Kamala Harris has no idea what she's doing, and it didn't take her long to prove it. Her befuddled statements are a comedy routine. That's what you get when you select a vice presidential running mate based less on qualifications and more on identity politics. It might check a box or two, but you're left with an empty vessel who couldn't steer her way out of a harbor.
Attorney, Fox News legal analyst, and two-time New York Times bestselling author. This is The Brief with Greg Jarrett.
To all my listeners with an IRA, 401k, or other retirement savings, have you seen the headlines today? Our federal debt has now reached over $29 trillion. What our government is not saying is that the Fed is running out of ways to fight this growing debt bomb. Inflation and tax hikes may be their only way out. We all dodged a bullet when Senator Joe Manchin announced he wouldn't support the Democrats' crazy Build Back Better plan, but the Democrats may not give up that easily. That is not good news for hardworking American taxpayers. Whatever Biden and his cronies do in 2022 may mean even higher inflation. The more the dollar comes under attack, the more physical gold and silver could protect your money. So if you have $50,000 or more in your retirement savings, your money could be at risk. Learn how you can protect your life savings from Biden's tax plans with physical gold and silver. Call 855-665-0767 to receive your wealth protection kit. That's right. Call 855-665-0767. And Goldco may give you $10,000 or more in free silver when you open a qualified account. That's why Goldco is the only company I recommend for gold and silver. Goldco is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and a five-time Inc. winner with countless five-star reviews. So what are you waiting for? Call 855-665-0767. That's 855-665-0767. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Brief. I'm Greg Jarrett. Upon her arrival in Germany, and from the moment she opened her mouth, Kamala Harris showed that it was amateur hour in Munich. She announced that sanctions would absolutely deter Vladimir Putin from invading Ukraine, while stating that he'd made up his mind already to invade. Huh? Stop scratching your head. It's not eczema. It's stupidity. Harris drew particular scorn for her meandering remarks during a press conference in which she seemed to be terminally clueless. She was mocked by viewers who called her incomprehensible statements word salad. Frankly, that's an insult to a good salad. You don't have to have toured Europe to know its history. Reading books might help. But that's well outside Kamala's wheelhouse. She told the gathered media that Europe had been without war and at peace for the last 70 years. Say what? I'm sure that came as a surprise to the people of Kosovo, who fought a deadly war 24 years ago marked by genocide, rape, and other atrocities. Or Bosnia, where 100,000 people lost their lives in the early 1990s. Tell that to the people of Georgia or Crimea, who were attacked by Russia's military. Harris is oblivious to history because she never bothered to study it. In fact, she doesn't study anything. Regardless of the subject, she is perpetually unprepared and unread, as members of her own staff have constantly complained. Even Biden's biggest booster, the Washington Post, scolded him for sending Harris to a vital security conference to, quote, burnish her political credentials as a leader. If that was the goal, it failed miserably. Kamala's great European adventure was an embarrassment. Recognizing her epic collapse, Biden began to furiously negotiate his own face-to-face meeting with Putin. Whether it will happen is anyone's guess, but I can't imagine that Joe would be much of a match for the ruthless dictator. Putin already took his measure when Biden skulked out of Afghanistan as the Taliban chased his tail. I suspect the Russian leader has little respect for a man who appears to be frail of body and feeble of mind. Or maybe Putin will thank Joe for dropping Trump's sanctions against the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, making Vlad even more powerful in Europe, which is now dependent on Russia for its energy needs. At the same time, Biden made America weaker by shutting down its own Keystone XL pipeline and canceling new gas and oil leases. In one short year, the United States has gone from the strength of energy independence and a net exporter of oil to a nation that must now import much of its energy needs. You are paying the price for Joe's folly every time you pull up at the gas pumps and have to empty your wallet. Some accuse Biden of waging a distraction in a wag-the-dog manner. U.S. Senate candidate in Nevada Sam Brown said that Kamala's war in Europe talk was an attempt to draw attention away from her boss's domestic disasters. There may be some merit in that argument, because Biden has made a hash of everything he's touched. Joe couldn't be bothered to lift a finger to solve the surging crisis at her own border with Mexico. Indeed, he's refused to even visit the border, although the White House says he did once drive by it about 14 years ago. During his CNN town hall, Biden said he's too busy to make the trip. Really? Government records show that during his first year in office, Biden made 42 personal trips to his homes in Delaware for a total of 126 days there. He splits his time relaxing in his palatial estate in Wilmington and his fancy vacation spread in Rehoboth Beach. Biden seems to think the Atlantic Ocean is the only border of significance. He's wrong about that. Americans are sick and tired of Joe's open borders attitude and his liberal policies that invited a flood of undocumented individuals, including countless criminals, into the U.S. His mantra was free everything. All you have to do is get here. But the ugly backlash was inevitable. The people who put Joe Biden in office appear angry enough to cripple his presidency come November by flipping control of Congress from Democrats to Republicans. A scant 36% approve of Joe's handling of border security, according to a recent CBS News poll. Biden is on course to get thumped during the midterm elections. The populist anger has been fueled not just by the crime that comes with illegal entry, but by the overcrowding detention centers and the videotape of illegals being shuttled on flights to various parts of the country in the dead of night, all paid for by hardworking taxpayers. Border officials are now preparing an even greater invasion, some 9,000 per day by springtime. Compounding the calamity is the widespread crime committed by illegals. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, reports that undocumented immigrants who were arrested by ICE had an average of 4 criminal convictions or charges each. Stated differently, 90% had criminal convictions or charges at the time of their arrest. Major metropolitan areas run by liberal politicians who have declared their cities sanctuaries for illegal immigrants are the hardest hit by crime, needlessly endangering their law-abiding citizens. Radical sanctuary policies only embolden the lawless. And so do the actions of progressive district attorneys elected in places like Manhattan, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Chicago, Baltimore, and St. Louis. Many of them got elected by aligning themselves with Black Lives Matter and defund the police movements. AOC and her notorious squad were all in favor of dismantling the police. Before they were elected, Kamala joined in and Joe tolerated it.
Yes, I support the defund movement because this is about the investment in our communities, which have historically been divested.
One that I'm actively engaged in advocacy for, is the reduction of, really truly talking about the reduction of our NYPD budget and defunding a $6 billion NYPD budget.
This model of saying, not only do we need to defund, but we need to dismantle and start anew, allows us to really reimagine what public safety should look like in our community.
You know, in many cities in America, over one third of their city budget goes to police. So we have to have this conversation. What are we doing?
The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is that...
Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
As a direct result of their insanity, violent crime soared across America. Instead of law and order, progressive DAs, encouraged by liberal politicians, embraced lawlessness and disorder. They don't believe in crime and punishment, only crime and no punishment. Alvin Bragg, the newly elected district attorney in Manhattan, decided to rewrite the New York laws he doesn't like. For example, Bragg instructed his prosecutors to drop felony armed robbery to a misdemeanor. Instead of 25 years behind bars as a max, criminals walk out of jail with the equivalent of a jaywalking ticket. They're free to rob a store at gunpoint all over again. Bragg, which, by the way, is a perfect name for such a pompous guy, nullified state laws, all without authority. Just 2 weeks ago, he set a career criminal free on a felony robbery charge, despite 19 open cases against him and 10 active bench warrants for his arrest. The man promptly attacked a uniformed sanitation worker in an unprovoked assault. Bragg is sworn to uphold the law, but instead he's undermining the rule of law and incentivizing criminality. The citizens he's supposed to serve and protect are now his unwitting and helpless victims. Forget that crime has skyrocketed in New York City. Murders shot up 52% since 2019. Shootings are up 104%. Car theft up 91%. Subway slashings and stabbings are a daily event. Walk down the street and you may get hit by a stray bullet. Black citizens in particular have been harmed the most since they were victims in 65% of murders and 74% of shootings. The same pattern of criminality has consumed Los Angeles, now regarded as violent crime central, thanks to the lefty policies of District Attorney George Gascon, who is the BFF of all criminals in L.A. I'm surprised they haven't thrown him a parade. A couple of days ago, a trans child molester was heard on a jailhouse recording gloating about the slap on the wrist that she got. She boasted that nothing would happen to her thanks to Gascon and his deranged policies. She laughed that she won't have to go back to prison or even register as a sex offender. Voters have only themselves to blame for electing people like Gascon and Bragg. In San Francisco, they elected Chesa Boudin. His parents were both convicted of murder as members of the Violent Weather Underground. Raised by radicals who founded the domestic terror group, Boudin has spent much of his time as district attorney working to get his father released from prison. Good use of time, because he succeeded. Meanwhile, liberal soft-on-crime policies have helped drive up record crime in San Francisco. Boudin and Gascon are now facing a recall election by voters who have suddenly awakened from their slumber and suffered an acute case of buyer's remorse. But it's too late for the innocent victims who mistakenly expected both DAs to uphold and enforce the law. So much of this was entirely predictable. In the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd by a racist cop, opportunistic rioters terrorized cities across America. Vandalism, looting, arson, assaults, and general lawlessness came into vogue as an expression of uber wokeness. The media told us it was perfectly acceptable behavior. If you didn't applaud BLM, you were canceled or condemned. If you didn't join the defund police crowd, you were denounced as a heretic and spat upon. The consequences can be found in criminal statistics. Nationwide, homicides are up 30%. The murder rate rose 44% in 22 major American cities. Rogue prosecutors are to blame, along with liberal politicians who have all but outlawed bail for career criminals and even violent offenders. Now there is the inexorable boomerang effect. BLM is under fire for millions of unaccounted for dollars and the toxic divisions the organization wrought. Defund the police is also facing a reckoning. Amid spiraling crime rates, it has been supplanted by Refund the Police movement. Citizens are frightened, and their fear is driving a new and enlightened reality. Americans have finally, if belatedly, come to realize that police and prosecutors are the only thing standing in the way of a criminal takeover of communities everywhere, and a secure border is also a key component. Joining me now to talk about this is Mark Morgan, former acting commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. He's a Heritage Foundation visiting fellow, and importantly, he also served in the FBI. Mark, thank you so much for being with us. First of all, has Joe Biden broken our border?
Greg, no doubt. Look, this one thing I keep saying is that this current administration inherited the most secure border in our lifetime. And literally with the stroke of a political plan driven by ideology and politics, he has destroyed the border. He has turned our Southwest border over to the hands of the cartel 100%.
And I want to get to that pretty shortly, but tell us the mentality, of the border agents down there who have to deal with this. How frustrated and angry and indeed demoralized are border agents because of what Biden has done and frankly, what he's failed to do?
Yeah, Greg, I think you just summarized it better than I could. I think there's a couple of key adjectives you used. They're demoralized. They're angry. And we saw that recently in what I call the secretary's just shut up and take it tour. He was down there. And for the first time, Greg, I've been serving this country for 35 years. It's the first time that I ever saw a field agent actually physically turn his or her back on a cabinet level official. And that really represents just how angry they are. And here's what's important though, Greg. Here's why they're angry. I mean, they weren't asking the secretary for more vacation days or higher pay. They were asking for him to give them back the tools and authorities to do their job to protect the country. And they know, just like one of them said to their chief, all it takes for evil to win is for good men to do nothing. That's what they feel like. They're doing nothing because all the policies have been taken away, and they know every aspect of our nation's public health, security, and national security is being negatively impacted, and they know it.
Yeah, I can't imagine, Mark, what it's like to be a border agent now. Just when things were going well with the building of the wall and the resources you needed under President Trump to secure the border, all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from under and it's utter chaos. And, Mark, when you see Joe Biden now focused on Ukraine's border and, the threat from Russia, but utterly ignoring our own border disaster and the corresponding threats there, which are so immediate. I mean, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, this is a tough one because I don't want to downplay what's happening from Russia on the Ukrainian border, right? That's important too. But it's hypocrisy, Greg. I get frustrated and angry along with the agent because I know what's happening on our Southwest border is absolutely devastating the lives of this country and jeopardizing, as I said, every aspect of our nation's health, security, and national security. I can give you just one stat, and we talked about it a minute ago, drugs. 100,000 drug-related deaths in a 12-month period. And we know the overwhelming majority of drugs, including fentanyl, come from the Southwest border. Why are they pouring in at epidemic proportions like we've never seen before? Because our borders are wide open, because agents are being pulled off the line to process 2 million illegal aliens, leaving our borders wide open, unmonitored, unsecured. And the cartels are taking advantage of it every day.
Yeah, the primo drug is fentanyl. Yep. It's just pouring into the United States from the South, which is responsible, Mark, for so many overdose deaths in America. Talk to us a bit more about that. How pervasive, how out of control is that situation?
Again, I think your chips are spot on. It's pervasive. It's out of control. Again, we take the 100,000 drug overdoses in a 12-month period. That's the most we ever had in a 12-month period in our history. And think about it, 100,000, that's more deaths than the Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan wars combined. And a couple of those wars lasted two decades. I mean, this is why I get so frustrated. I don't know why border security is a right or left thing. This should be an American thing. The largest death for 18 to 40 years old is fentanyl. And we know fentanyl is pouring into this country, again, at epidemic proportions. And why? Because our border is wide open. And this is a key point. Look, when you have over 2 million encounters in a 12-month period, 50 to 60% of Border Patrol resources are pulled off the front line to be basically travel agents. And that leaves large areas of border wide open. The cartels do it. They know it. They do it on purpose. That allows them to get drugs. But you know, drugs aren't the only issue. Look, we have issues with illegal aliens on the FBI's terror screening database, gang members, criminal aliens. The list goes on with respect to the overwhelming threat that we face.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. I was reading some shocking statistics. I mentioned it in my opening statement about the many arrests by ICE and the percentage of people, which is really breathtaking, the percentage of the people they arrest who are career criminals, who, you know, like 90% of them have some charges or arrests associated with them. So we are essentially letting criminals, not everybody, but a lot of criminals as well as terrorists coming across the border?
Yeah. So, Greg, look, this is a very important aspect that a lot of folks in your position don't cover. It's not just what's happening on the physical border, but it's also what's happening in the interior. So it's absolutely something we need to talk more about is ICE interior enforcement operations. So not only is this administration really turned our Border Patrol agents into a welcoming center, our border and the agents into travel agents, but on the interior, they've basically demolished ICE. And you're right. We already knew 90%, you're absolutely right, 90% of those that ICE arrests in the interior are not just here illegally, but they also have an additional criminal conviction. And that's why it's so important. This last year, the entire year, and they haven't released a report yet, the ICE's report, this is going to be important. The entire year of FY21, they removed less individuals than the number of individuals they allowed into the country this past January. Think about that. And real quick, if I can, so we know what the result of that is. More criminals, as you said, are walking our communities. But let's talk about the front end. So the front end, Border Patrol, in that same time period, FY21, they arrested about 18,000 criminals that tried to break into our country. But here's an important stat. Because those agents are pulled off the line, 600,000 gotaways. So 600,000 illegal aliens evaded apprehension and broken into our country. And among them are gang members, criminals, including murderers, rapists, pedophiles, aggravated felons. It goes on and on. That's why I cannot believe that this has become a Democrat versus Republican issue.
But Kamala Harris, who was tasked with solving the crisis at our southern border, insists she's making great progress. She went down to El Paso for a nanosecond and took a quick look and then skedaddled out of there. But, honestly, has Harris done anything meaningful to solve the southern border crisis?
Absolutely not. And look, your listeners don't have to take my word for it. Just look at the statistics. I mean, from the moment she was anointed a border czar, what's happened on the southwest border? It's just gotten worse. Look, the month of December, the apprehension numbers were higher. This past December were higher than the three previous Decembers combined. This last January, it doubled. It was double the apprehensions from this time last year. And in FY 2020, it quadrupled what we experienced in two Januaries ago. So it's absolutely gotten worse. Look, the Border Patrol agents know that the cartels absolutely have controlled it. They're using the migrants as distraction techniques so that they can pour the drugs across and the criminals across. And the only thing that's happened is the number of gotaways are increasing.
And, you know, Joe Biden in his rhetoric in the presidential campaign basically invited everybody to come in, open borders. You're going to get free everything. You're going to have free health care. We're going to give you money. You're going to get free education. It's a total freebie. All you have to do is get here. So come on in. I mean, to what extent did that exacerbate the flood of people that poured to our border?
So again, spot on, Greg. Look, I think we all saw that Democratic debate, right? Where they couldn't, it was like, ooh, 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 right? They the candidates couldn't raise their hands fast enough to say, oh yeah, free health care for all illegal immigrants, right? It was absolutely ridiculous. And so what we called, even before Biden took over officially in January of last year. We called it the Biden effect, just based on the rhetoric alone that was going to be all these freebies. Plus, he also supported sanctuary cities, free driver's license. You're going to be able to work even though you were here illegally. You weren't going to be deported even though you were here illegally. Some cities were going to allow you to vote in local elections, right? We could go on and on and on about not just the freebies, but all the rights that were going to be afforded illegal aliens. So they started to come before President Biden even took over in January. But then when January took over, he didn't just continue the rhetoric. He backed it up with demolishing the vast network of effective tools, authorities, and policies that we had developed under President Trump to secure the borders.
Yeah. You know, in a town hall on CNN, Joe Biden said that he's too busy to go to the border. This from a guy who in his first year spent 126 days at either his palatial mansion in Wilmington or his fancy beach spread in Rehoboth Beach. 126 days, which is really, I think that's a record. And he doesn't have a few hours or half a day to get down to the border and see what an utter disaster he has created there and to do something about it. What's been the reaction of agents at the border to that?
Look, they're just disgusted and they're tired of this. And this is why, you know, I go back to, a part of the problem is it's not just Democrats. This is a Republican and Democrat issue. I mean, Congress as a whole has failed to pass any meaningful legislation, Greg. And I know you've talked about this before, but remember, Trump had the House and the Senate for the first 2 years.
Right.
And the Republicans failed to pass a single piece of meaningful legislation that would have prevented President Biden from using executive orders or this DHS Secretary Mayorkas from instituting policies that created these open border policies. Instead, nothing was done. And so the agents see this. They're tired of being this ping pong ball. Right. With every change in administration, Congress fails to do what they need to decade after decade, now at the mercy of executive orders and DHS current policy.
You know, I have talked with border people in San Diego, El Paso, and they said, look, the wall that Trump had built was working. It was constructed in several places along the border. And in those places, it was succeeding. It was stopping this massive flow of people into the United States. And now it's just that initiative has been abandoned by Joe Biden. And in your judgment, the wall was working, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, Greg. And here again, a key thing that you said, in certain locations, we call them strategic locations. No one ever, if you ask the Border Patrol agents, no one ever advocated for needing the wall system along all 2,000 miles. It was needed in strategic locations, right? And here's what's important part. And no Border Patrol agent, including myself, has ever said the wall by itself is the answer. But it is an essential part of what we call the multi-layer strategy of infrastructure, technology, and personnel. When you implement those three elements of that multi-layer strategy in strategic location, every single measure of success skyrockets. And this is what's so frustrating, because if you go back to 2006, the 2000 Secure Fence Act, which, by the way, gained overwhelming Senate support, including then Senator Biden, who voted, they called it the Secure Fence Act, but it was a wall. It resulted in 650 miles of wall being built, including up into the first 2 years of then Obama-Biden administration. Fence, wall was being built along Southwest border. Now, all of a sudden, President Trump comes in. It's immoral, ineffective. It's a joke. It's a lie. It's hypocrisy.
Yeah. How destructive has Biden's catch and release program that he's really elevated to new heights? How destructive has that been to the ability to secure our border?
Well, again, key thing, this is about border security, Greg, and I really appreciate you saying it that way. Illegal immigration is just a subset. But again, when you open your border up to one crisis, you open your borders up to all the crises, the drugs, the gangs, and criminals that we've been talking about. Look, one of the biggest loopholes that we had in our broken immigration system was that if you came to our border illegally as a family, the law said we have to let you in. That's what started catch and release. Well, the Remain in Mexico program closed that loophole down. And by February of 2020, you saw a reduction of almost 80% of illegal immigration, because families now knew they weren't going to be released into the United States. And so the minute President Biden took over, he got rid of that program. So think about that. He turned on 80% back on the illegal immigration flow, and then it doubled on top of that because of his open border policies. It was the single most effective program that we had, and he destroyed it.
I want to go back, if I may, briefly to the flow of drugs, because, I mean, it deeply concerns me and so many other Americans. Cartels are selling drugs on social media, and big tech is really doing nothing about it. They're making money from these illegal apps that are so conducive to the drug sales, and the Department of Justice, they're utterly indifferent, aren't they?
Yeah, look, Greg, this is something, again, another layer of hypocrisy gets me really fired up and frustrated. So the big tech, they're more worried about if a politician says something mean on Twitter, right, or says something they disagree with, to shut them down. But right now, those same platforms are being utilized to distribute drugs throughout this country, killing American citizens. It's being utilized to facilitate human trafficking, and it's being utilized to facilitate human smuggling every single day on these platforms. And you hear virtually nothing from big tech. And from what I know, they're doing virtually little to stop it.
You know, Texas, and I give them credit, is really trying to crack down on the flood of illegals. They are utilizing their own state laws, not federal laws, but state laws. They're on the books, things like trafficking and trespassing. But here you have the civil rights groups led by the ACLU calling for the enforcement of those laws. They call them racist. I mean, that's just utterly absurd, isn't it?
It's offensive, Greg. It's offensive. Think about this. We've handed our southwest border over to the hands of the cartels. The rule of law is gone. So basically, you're telling anybody the end justifies the means, right? You can break our laws, you know, disregard our sovereignty, and somehow, if you try to enforce the rule of law, you're a racist. Look, what you're referring to in Texas is Operation Lone Star. It started in March of 2021. It's been extremely effective. They've apprehended over 100,000 illegal aliens, over 40,000 pounds of narcotics, $22 million in U.S. currency and weapons. I could go on and on. It's been very, very successful to fill the void and gap that's left by this administration. But here at the end of the day, and look, I applaud their effort, and they're building the wall as well. But here's the problem. They can only go so far. There's no other state doing more than Texas. But at the end of the day, they can't enforce federal immigration law.
Right.
So there's a limit to what they can do. And that's why we've really been having a discussion about a constitutional crisis that I think is legitimate, and whether this fits the constitutional definition of invasion right now. And I think it's something we should be exploring and discussing more.
Final question, the big picture, you know, Mark, what is the solution? In my judgment, the solution is to take politics out of border security. What say you?
Yeah, Greg, I think that's exactly right. I've been saying that since day one. Again, I don't understand how wanting to secure our borders to stop 100,000 Americans from dying is political. I don't understand why stopping gang members and criminal aliens from entering our country illegally and making their way to every town, city, and state is a right or left thing. I don't understand it. This should be something we should all get behind. At the same time, let's continue to improve our legal immigration system. I'm all for that. But we shouldn't be having any of those discussions until we get behind border security. That's what's in the best interest of our national security.
Mark Morgan, former acting commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, also served in the FBI. Many, many thanks for joining us with your thoughts today. Appreciate it.
Greg, thank you. Anytime, Greg. Thank you.
And that's The Brief. I'm Greg Jarrett. Thanks for listening.